This morning, I had the 8:45 Mass, but at about 8:10, the fire alarm went off in the church, throughout the whole building. I don't know if you've ever been in here when the fire alarm goes off, but it's loud. And the lights around the church on all these little red boxes, they start blinking, and so we had to evacuate the building. And of course, the fire department came, and then they rolled up, and then suddenly they rolled away and left without coming in, and the fire alarm kept going. And so I called them and told them to come back, and they came back. Anyway, so they finally came and turned off the fire alarm. It's not exactly the way you like to prepare for Mass. And so before Mass in the sacristy with the altar boys, I reminded them, let us place ourselves in the presence of God. This time of year can be a little bit like that fire alarm. There's so many things going on at once. There's maybe stuff at work for you, maybe year-end stuff, maybe if you're in retail, you're working very hard in particular, or if you have maybe year-end stuff with your business and to close out the year, there could be all sorts of stuff with that. Also, lots of people go on vacation, so if you're working, you're working that much harder to cover for them. And then at home, you've got all the Christmas cultural things that we have to do, for wrapping presents, putting up lights, and all these things. This week, we have a housekeeper, and she usually puts up all the decorations. She also cooks food for us so that we actually eat. She was sick all week, and so, it's been that much more crazy week. But then we come here and we take time out and we remember that we are in the presence of God. We set all that stuff aside and just place ourselves in the presence of Jesus. But really, the whole season of Advent is supposed to be about just that. It's about becoming aware of the presence of Christ, becoming aware that He has come 2,000 years ago. He came into the world and he has remained, so that we can prepare ourselves to celebrate that coming at Christmas. It is a time of placing ourselves in the presence of God. This can be very difficult, as I say, at this time of year, but in these last hours of Advent, I want you to remember this and try to place yourself in his presence. And one way you can do that, small thing, but I don't know if you've put it up yet, I hope all of you have a manger scene, a creche, like we have over here in your house. And here, I hope yours doesn't have the baby Jesus out, because it's not Christmas yet. And here, though, we have the two key figures that are there before Jesus, Mary and Joseph. And those two key figures are two people that you need to be with in these next few hours. Place yourself in the presence of God by placing yourself in the presence of Mary and Joseph. And letting them, the two people who were the best prepared to receive Jesus that first Christmas, to be in their presence, they teach you how to prepare. Mary and Joseph. Now, not much is known about our Blessed Mother, especially in her early life. Scripture is silent about her childhood. And for the most part, so are the early fathers of the Church. Even so, Scripture and all the fathers are unanimous in their deep reverence and love for the Blessed Mother. And they're unanimous about her unique grace and status in all creation. And it's explicitly extolled in the earliest days. Some of the early fathers were very clear in their belief that Mary knew from a very early age that God had a special plan for her life, unique, different than others. And think about it. The Church teaches infallibly that Mary was conceived in the womb of her mother without the stain of original sin, which means that she never suffered what we call concupiscence, that confusion between good and evil that we all experience because of that original sin. She could see good and evil for what they were, And she could see truth from lies. And so she understood the world better than anybody else. And on top of that, she never committed a personal sin, so that sin never entered her life. That confusion never entered her life. And so that's why one reason why the angel, when he came to her, said, "Hail, full of grace." She was no ordinary child. So it's no surprise that some of the fathers held that when she was a very young girl, Mary made a vow of virginity to God, consecrating and dedicating her whole life to Him. Some say that from the age of about 3 years old, she was brought to the temple, and there she lived with the other women who lived there, who were taking care of the temple and serving in different capacities. And there she was also taught by the temple priests until she was about 12 years old. Some talk about the fact that it's most likely that she would have had multiple experiences of visions and inspirations from God. I mean, so many great saints have had that. Why wouldn't she? In any case, between Mary's unique holiness, her clear intellect, and her complete love of the Lord, combined with the Lord's complete and unique love for her, we can only imagine how splendidly Mary was prepared to be His mother. Think of it. Think of God the Son, who existed from all eternity, and imagine how, sitting on His throne in heaven, He must have looked down with love and tenderness on this young girl who He knew would one day become His mother. Think of how God the Son would have provided for her and protected her, how He would have sent His angels out to defend her, how he'd speak loving to her even before He was born, perhaps even more clearly and intimately than He had spoken to Moses in the burning bush or the cloud or to the prophets. This is the girl who, when the angel Gabriel came to her and told her that she would be the mother of God Himself, she did not run and hide. Instead, she responded, "How can this be, since I do not know man?" In other words, "I'm a virgin, what am I to do? Tell me and I'll do it." This is something else we know very certainly about Mary. She was a virgin. The Gospels make it clear that she's a virgin because, in particular, they want there to be no doubt that there was no mere man who was the father of her child, that God alone was her true father. And when the angel told her this great news, she responded, "Let it be done to me according to your word." Complete and utter faith, trust, and acceptance of God's will. This is the woman who was prepared so perfectly to receive her Lord in perfect faith and love, who held Him in her womb, who cared for and worried for her unborn baby as only an expected mother can, and waited for Him with joy and love beyond all telling. And then there's Joseph. If we know little about Mary's early life, we know even less about Joseph's. We know that, like Mary, he was a direct descendant of King David, and that he was probably born in Bethlehem. He may have been born in Bethlehem, but was probably born in Nazareth, where there he lived and worked as a carpenter. His relative obscurity in Scripture leads us to conclude that he was a very humble man. And we can see that in Jesus, who He taught also to be a humble man, to serve, not to be served. Some of the legends about Joseph say that he was an old man when he married the Blessed Mother. Most suggest this because they want to defend the Blessed Mother's virginity. They want to say, Joseph was so old, there's no question about her virginity. But really, that degrades both the gift of celibacy and the virtue of St. Joseph. As if St. Joseph, a young man, if he were a young man, wouldn't be able to control himself. Joseph had been prepared for this. And so there's another strain of tradition running through the great St. Augustine and the great Thomas Aquinas that holds that Joseph was a young man of marrying age, just of great virtue. Above all, we know in Scripture that he was a righteous man, which in the language of Scripture is very rare, but it means that he's a man who was exceptionally holy, who always did the will of God. It's, if you will, a term of art in Scripture when they call him a righteous man. And so it shouldn't surprise us that it's the tradition of the fathers and what we call the common teaching of the church that, like Mary, he too was prepared from an early age for his unique role in salvation history. That Joseph, who was not conceived without original sin as Mary was, remember Mary is the Immaculate Conception, she was conceived from the moment of her being in her mother's womb, she did not have original sin. Joseph was just like the rest of us, conceived with that, but unlike the rest of us, the fathers held that Joseph never committed a personal sin in his life. In fact, some believe that Joseph was purified from original sin in his mother's womb after he was conceived. In other words, when he was a little unborn baby, that he had the grace, he was given the grace of what we would have in baptism. The church, by the way, definitively holds that St. John was given this. That's what we read in today's scriptures. When he leaped in his mother's womb in the presence of Jesus, the fathers say that that was when John the Baptist was, if you will, baptized, received that grace, washing away original sin. But many of the fathers say that something similar happened to Joseph. But all of this, whatever happened, all of this was because he was chosen to stand in on earth for Jesus' Father in heaven, to take Jesus as his own, as a gift from the Father, and to be a true father to Jesus on earth, and to teach Jesus, like a father does, how to be a man, a righteous man, insofar as Jesus was human. This is the Joseph who was married to the Blessed Virgin Mary. These are the Joseph and Mary that were prepared for the birth of Christ from the earliest days of their lives, chosen by God to prepare a place for Jesus in the world, to welcome him with open and loving arms, to serve him even as he would be obedient to them, to worship and adore Jesus even as they were supposed to correct him in his childish mistakes. This is the Mary and Joseph who traveled on the rocky mountain roads that lead down the very narrow roads, paths really, that lead down from Nazareth in the north of Israel, 90 miles south to Bethlehem, during the cold month of December. This is the Mary and Joseph dedicated to their baby and to each other, who wandered the streets of Bethlehem looking for a place to lay their heads. This was the Mary and Joseph who hastily cleaned the stable, sweeping the floor and washing the dirty manger and then laying out fresh hay. This was the Mary and Joseph who watched in awe the miraculous birth of God the Son, who were filled with the immeasurable joy at the coming of the Messiah. This was the Mary and Joseph who loved our Lord as only a new mommy and daddy can, more than you and I could ever begin to. Now, part of the busyness of this season is wrapping Christmas presents, and I'm betting if you're like me, you're probably spending time the next few hours doing some of that. Most of our Christmas presents we open on Christmas morning, but usually we get a few before that, and usually we open them up, usually open one or two maybe as they come in. Tonight, let us make, as we make our last minute preparations for Christmas, let us take the two gifts that God has given us today and open them. The Blessed Mother and her beloved spouse, St. Joseph. Gifts that God gives to us to help us to prepare for his greatest gift, the gift of the baby Jesus on Christmas. Let us turn to them as examples, as guides, as intercessors, and as interveners in our lives, and ask them who prepared so perfectly for the coming of their baby boy to show us how to prepare for him. And as we move into these last few hours before the birth of their little baby, let us stay close to them that they may show us the wonder, the awe, the joy, and the love that Christmas really means. Praise be Jesus Christ.